Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking with Eric Levitt. He is the CEO of Hammer Fiber Optics Holdings Corp. Stock symbol is HMMR, over the counter. Eric, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Eric, can you, start off with an overview of Hammer's business model and, some of the markets that you're operating in?
We espouse what we're calling our everything wireless strategy, which has four pillars and a foundation. The four pillars are our high-speed fixed wireless network, which is based on the patented AIR technology, which delivers a super high-speed fixed wireless to residential customers, small businesses, and enterprises, which can be delivered up to gigabit speeds. Some people refer to it as wireless fiber. The second pillar of our strategy is mobility, which is our 4G LTE deployment, which we typically would perform on top of our fixed wireless network. The third being our OTT, or over-the-top technology, which includes SMS and texting, voice services, video, and very advanced collaboration tools. And the fourth component being Smart City, which is also an overlay on our fixed wireless network that addresses the needs of municipalities and utilities for vehicle tracking, asset management, smart meters, flood warning sensors, or in some cases, we're even working with national parks to try to deliver services to track animals, for example. And then the three parts of the foundation are our hosting service, which includes our owned data centers in Piscataway, New Jersey, and Homewood, Alabama, as well as our virtual private server offerings and dedicated server offerings, and the wholesale voice and SMS networks.
So which markets are you operating in right now?
We are currently working on fixed wireless deployments in Freetown in Sierra Leone, in Dominica, in Roseau, in the city in Canefield. And we've just announced that we'll be building an infrastructure in Huntsville, Homewood, and Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay. And what, why specifically those markets? How did you, choose those areas to be in?
We have a very careful strategy for the international markets, which include education of the regulators, education of the government institution, and we're looking for just the right favorable environment for us to operate in, where we have the support, of the regulator, the support of the government, to really want to move the IT environment forward, and in the environments that we've selected, there is that desire to accomplish that. We're certainly going to look at other markets as well. In the United States, we look for a specific set of opportunity that's ideal for fixed wireless and for some of our other network, offerings.
So,
In Huntsville, we do have the advantage of having the highway asset, and we do look to leverage our brand in that market in order to accelerate our sales process.
So, Eric, in case anybody may not be aware, can you explain exactly what is, fixed wireless?
Fixed wireless differs from mobility substantially, that a fixed wireless connection looks logically more like fiber in the sense that it's from point A to point B, from where our radio transmission station is to where the customer is, as opposed to what we think of as 4G or 5G, which is an omnidirectional service where it's mobility, where the end user is moving. In a fixed wireless environment, the end user is static. So it might be your home, it might be your business, which is why we refer to it more like wireless fiber, where it's not a moving target.
And why would, a customer choose, the fixed wireless or your service versus, other options that they may have, such as cable or other ways of getting, let's say, online access.
Well, the first and primary reason that somebody might choose fixed wireless is because they don't have access to cable or other high-speed technologies. Fiber is expensive. It takes a long time to deploy. In some cases, it requires a lot of permitting. And it can take a long time to deliver, and it's not necessarily affordable for the operators. Cable may not be available. DSL may not be available. The benefit of our particular fixed wireless technology is extremely long range at very high speeds with what we call very low rain fade, meaning that it doesn't fade in and out that easily. So the technology can be leveraged to deliver in areas and markets where fiber isn't economical to deploy. The second reason is that it's very competitive with fiber. And a customer may or may not want to have a service from a larger operator. They may want to have a service from a smaller operator with more of a personal touch.
Okay. And your pricing compares with, is it in line with, let's say, the fiber or cable operators?
In general, it'll be less expensive.
Less expensive. Okay. How competitive is the space right now, like in the markets where you're in?
We're looking at markets that are generally underserved, and we prefer those markets where we have a greater competitive advantage and there's a lesser degree of competition.
Okay, so now it seems like you're in Sierra Leone, Dominica. These are basically developing markets. So I'm assuming there's bigger opportunity in those areas than there are in let's say the U.S.
Certainly more than New York, but not necessarily certain parts of the U.S. There's large percentages of the U.S. that are fairly underserved that don't currently meet the needs of the population for consumption of broadband. Certainly in Sierra Leone and Dominica, competition is smaller. It does exist, but the competition is much smaller. And we looked at those environments certainly as great opportunities, but we also look in the United States at markets like Huntsville, where internet access is sporadic and in high speeds, and there is a need for increasing the competition in that market. And those are the kinds of markets that we value in the United States and that we're looking to enter.
How big is this opportunity? Let's call it this underserved market opportunity in the U.S. alone.
It's well over $250 billion.
Billion with a B.
Billion with a B. Like
that's still underserved. Okay, so. Okay, very interesting. So how, can you kind of, give us an overview of how the company kind of got started? Because it seems like it's come together through some acquisitions recently. So maybe you can kind of bring us up to speed on that.
The oldest subsidiary was Enstream Communications, which is the wholesale voice operator that was founded in 2007. First Point and Open Data Centers are the second oldest subsidiaries. They were founded in 2012. The underlying mobile operator was actually founded long before that. Hammer itself started operating in 2016. The vast majority of the operations right now are under the subsidiaries, but we should expect over the next couple of quarters as we complete the build-out of the fixed wireless infrastructure and the international infrastructure, we'll start to see performance from the Hammer Wireless division shortly.
Okay, and in terms of like a run rate, I know you have your earnings coming out soon, but like, what are you guys generating in terms of revenues right now?
Our last quarter, which did not reflect actually the complete full quarter from Enstream Communications, was well in excess of an annualized run rate of $4 million top line.
Okay, and what is going to be the role of, let's say, M&A going forward in terms of your growth? Like, what percentage will be, organic, and or how much of a role is M&A going to play going forward?
M&A is certainly going to play a part. We're looking to drive shareholder value through organic growth from the Hammer Wireless division, OTT, and mobility, with Smart City probably following a little later beyond that in terms of driving revenue. But there will certainly be opportunities for us to drive value through M&A, and we're going to be looking at opportunities similar to how we're leveraging the Highway brand in Huntsville and Homewood to be able to leverage that to deliver fixed wireless and mobility services into those markets. Acquisitions will be accretive, and they'll generally benefit our global everything wireless strategy.
So can you talk a little bit more about that? Like you mentioned the Highway. So specifically, are you looking for, you know, what was attractive about that deal in particular?
Highway was an incumbent internet service provider in the market. So we have tremendous brand recognition, and people want Highway in that market. And when you have a subscriber base, a ready-made subscriber base, where customers are interested in having you provide service, that's always a great place to start. So we're going to be looking to leverage brands and leverage penetration, market penetration where we can. And certainly we can use acquisition as a tool to enhance market penetration, drive shareholder value as quickly as possible.
Okay, and how big is the opportunity in terms of like how many of these, you know, smaller operators are out there that kind of would meet this type of criteria of, you know, having an established kind of brand locally?
Although I don't have any real data on the subject, I can tell you from 28 years of experience in the field that there are quite a few.
In the U.S.?
Yes, well, in the right. U.S., absolutely.
Okay.
And abroad as well, but this is specifically relating to the U.S.
Okay. And what are going to be your capital needs going forward? I mean, in terms of organic growth, I mean, this is an expensive industry to operate in.
Our premise behind being public is the ability to raise cash. And we certainly have many tools available to us, including equipment financing, that we'll leverage where it makes sense. And also through our MNSP program, there are a lot of ways that we can ensure shareholder value on our side by partnering with the right tools, with the right partners who have the right tools in place in order to establish a market as quickly as possible. And our MNSP program is our mobile network service provider program, whereby we either enter into a joint venture or joint marketing effort with our partner in the market in order to leverage either their license, their spectrum grant, their licenses to practice, or their ability. And most importantly, most importantly, their ability to market into a particular geographical area.
Okay. Now, Eric, it looks like the company's kind of come together in the last few years. You're generating some revenues now. What's your vision? For Hammer Fiber, let's say, two to 3 years out, what will the company look like in terms of the business and what kind of revenues do you expect to be generating? Assuming everything works out.
Well, we haven't provided any guidance on any expected revenue, so I can't entirely speak to that. But what I can discuss is that we are nearing completion in our market in Sierra Leone. We're nearing completion with our POP in Dominica, and we can expect to see some organic growth out of those markets. And going forward, our objective is to have that organic growth drive top line revenue more and more as our Hammer Wireless division continues to perform. So we think the majority of our revenues long term will come from organic growth through our first increase in subscriber base. We're actively looking to market the Huntsville area right away, and that can be a source of revenue for us. So we feel quite strongly that the organic growth and increase in subscriber base is going to generate shareholder value long term. It's going to drive both top line revenue and EBITDA.
Okay. Now, these local markets, between Huntsville, Dominica, Sierra Leone, what's the size of that local market opportunity? Just, for anybody that's kind of looking at the story, so they can kind of, get an idea of what the revenue potential is. Maybe you can kind of give some ideas there.
Sierra Leone has an aggregate population of over 7 million, with in excess of 1.2 million being easily accessible from our first POP in Freetown. Dominica is quite a bit smaller, but the opportunity for Dominica expands actually beyond the island. We have other Caribbean markets that we're addressing, and the opportunity in Huntsville, Birmingham, and Homewood is in excess of a population of 1.2, 1.3 million. Our immediately addressable market within Huntsville exceeds over 100,000 in population. So we have plenty of opportunity for growth in each of the markets.
Okay, but what could each of these markets be worth in terms of revenues? Can you talk about that?
We haven't provided a lot of guidance thus far in terms of modeling publicly, but what I can offer is that the average revenue per user is going to be roughly equivalent to what you would see from the model on a single play on fiber, for example, or even a triple play on fiber. You would be seeing similar types of top line revenue, but the main difference with fixed wireless is that you don't have the large depreciation that you would necessarily see with a fiber network, and also the build-out costs are substantially less expensive. And our turnaround on cash is going to be quite a bit higher for the most obvious reason that with fixed wireless, the moment that we mount the radio, we have access to all of the subscribers within the arc of that sector. Versus fiber, once you build your POP, then you have to build out to each of the individual homes. There's no choice around that. That's simple physics. That's the problem with fiber, is it's a wire, versus fixed wireless, where anyone within the arc that's available within that arc is immediately addressable by our network. So our time to return cash is going to be substantially lower, and our upfront investment is going to be substantially lower than, say, fiber to the home. So historically, you could see cash flows generally with a return on cash easily 5 to 7 times what you would see on fiber to the home.
Oh, very interesting. Eric, can you share with us your background and also some of the other key members of the management team?
Sure. I've been working in the field of marketing since 1988. And then joined the technology space in 1990. I founded a company called Core Technology Services in 1995, which we sold to Axis IT, which was later renamed Cinedigm, in 2004. Stayed with Cinedigm from 2004 to 2007, and then in 2007 founded Endstream, which is the first in a portfolio of four companies that we sold to Hammer in November and December of 2018. Now I've been the CEO of Hammer since November 1st of 2018 through the last couple of quarters. Our chairman, Mr. Michael Cotthill, has over 30 years of experience in the field. He has worked quite extensively in the African markets and is responsible directly for our implementation in Sierra Leone. Our COO, Kristen Vasicek, has a degree in graphic arts and marketing, and we feel as a telecommunications operator, we're a marketing company more than a technology company. Our goal is to implement technology, but to put subscribers on the network. So we feel quite strongly that our chief operating officer should have a strong marketing background. And then our founder and CTO, Mark Stogdill, was instrumental in Hammer's founding and also getting the rights from the getting the permission from the FCC to use the gear, because you need to get a number of permissions and go through FCC lab testing. So he led the company through that phase of building the first network, in Atlantic City, which has subsequently been discontinued due to the loss of the spectrum when our grant was revoked by Verizon through a straight path grant. But Mark walked the company through that process and then was the CEO until November of 2018. We then have a very strong layer of management underneath that, including Michael Schellen, who's our VP of Mobility, who's been working in the space since the early 90s and has a great deal of experience in PhD in mobility. Mr. Olden Silver is our Director of Carrier Relations, and he's done very extensive work with international operators, and that's going to be a key point working with us going forward. So we've got a very, very strong layer of senior and middle management backed by quite a strong team of engineers and operations personnel.
Eric, my final question is, in your opinion, what are the top three reasons why investors should consider your stock today?
Right now, the stock price is obviously trading at a value, and we believe that that long-term growth is going to drive that value up, particularly organic growth. The wireless market is growing very rapidly, although I can't speak specifically to data right now. It's the opportunity is vast, and because of our quick time to market being substantially faster than fiber to the home, we can accelerate growth much more rapidly as we build out our POPs. We're nearing completion in Sierra Leone, and as I mentioned earlier in this interview, as soon as a radio is mounted, we have access to all of the addressable subscribers within that arc immediately. So we expect that we can sustain rapid growth because the technology allows us to do that. We have a strong platform of managers that have experience in growing the businesses organically and through M&A, and working in the international markets. And we have a very clear strategy and an understanding of what's necessary to succeed in both the developing markets and in the developed markets, where you have to meet those challenges and you have to understand those challenges going forward. And that's a very important part of our management team, is that we have that understanding. We know where we're going to need patience. We know where we need to apply pressure and how to apply that pressure both to government entities and regulators, both in the developed markets and in the developing world. And finally, there's a highly sustainable technology advantage. I'm often asked about competitive gear. And while that is true, there are other competitors to the kit that we use to deploy, which we have the exclusive on the patent in the United States. That kit generally is 6 times smaller on a per sector basis and upwards of 11 to 12 times slower speed. So that the other technology that's available in the fixed wireless space in comparison to ours, exclusive of 5G, is much slower and has much lower capacity, and hence the numbers per sector just aren't going to be there. Whereas our fixed wireless deployments will have a substantially higher RPU and a substantially higher EBITDA on a per sector basis. So we feel that the combination of unique access to markets, unique access to technology, and an extremely strong management team give us a sustainable long-term competitive advantage and ultimately will drive shareholder value.
Okay, well, Eric, on that note, I want to thank you, and we look forward to hearing more from Hammer Fiber in the months ahead.
Thank you very much.